We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Well, here we are. Welcome in Hogan Johns, episode 89. Our final pre-NFL draft thoughts here. First of all, 89. It's got to be Mike Ditka.
Easy. Hall of Fame coach. Is he a Hall of Fame coach? Hall of Fame player. Hall of Famer. Number 89. Simple choice.
Love to hear his thoughts on the draft. Or not. All right. So we're in the closet at House Hall today. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. All of our draft coverage, there's a lot of it, WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Find it on TuneIn, the WGN Radio app, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to your podcast. It's there. And basically, this is going to kind of be our final thoughts before we dive into this thing this weekend. The reason we're at House Hall is Ryan Pace talked to the media today. It was about 12 minutes long. We will play that in its entirety for you in a few minutes so you can hear Pace's final thoughts before the draft. What we're going to talk about first, though, is all the smoke that has been out there really since last week when was our last opportunity to talk about what we think the Bears are going to do. The last episode this week was our mock draft round table, so we didn't really dive into some of the rumors and things that have been swirling around about the Bears. But there's been a lot of it with the quarterbacks all of a sudden. A lot of people going all in on Deshaun Watson, thinking that that could be a realistic possibility for the Bears. I feel like you and I, Adam, have been very consistent that we don't think the Bears are going to take a QB at number three. Has anything changed for you?
Not really. I get the importance of the position. I get why you like the guy. I mean, it's clear. His intangibles are through the roof. He's a winner. He rallies the troops. He's great in the locker room. He's great in big moments on the field. But the offensive system he played in is very nuanced. It's so different than what the NFL level is. He's going to require time. Look, he didn't meet with the Bears at Hallis Hall. Mitch Trubisky didn't meet with the Bears at Hallis Hall. Patrick Mahomes did. Deshaun Kizer did twice. All this is from my colleague Patrick Finley in Philadelphia, who was there talking to some of these prospects. Now, that's not everything. Pre-draft visits don't really determine draft picks. Blake Bortles didn't have a pre-draft visit with the Jaguars. He went over to number three to them. I don't think Jay Cutler visited with the Broncos before they drafted him. So that could be nothing. It could be something. Who knows? I'm sure they got enough information on these guys in some way or the other. But I get that quarterback is so important. It's the most important position in sports. I just don't know if the value of the position in this year's draft is at number three.
There's two things that I kind of go back to when it comes to the quarterbacks and then specifically Deshaun Watson. With Watson, I think what everyone just loves are the intangibles and, you know, fair or not, the anti-Jay Cutler perception of Deshaun Watson, right? He wins football games. He might not be perfect as a quarterback, but the intangibles are through the roof. Everyone's going to love him in this building if he ends up at House Hall. I get that. What I think is being missed, though, because a lot of that I think is based on comments Ryan Pace has made about a guy that elevates his program, right? Wins football games. I get it. What Ryan Pace has also talked about, though, is protecting the football. And John Fox has talked about that a lot, too. That's not one of Deshaun Watson's strengths. I think that's kind of getting ignored with the connection with Deshaun Watson and the Bears. Then, kind of more broadly, with the quarterback position, I go back to Mike Glennon. And the thing that I think people need to remember, before the Bears decided to sign Mike Glennon, they already had thoroughly evaluated this quarterback class in the draft. And the question I go back to is, if you love this quarterback class enough to take a guy at number three, why would you pay Mike Glennon more money than you were going to pay Jay Cutler? or even more so, way more money than it would have taken to just keep Brian Hoyer around here, who would have been just, you know, would have been a fine mentor and a guy that could have gotten you another year too. Because if you're drafting a guy number three overall, you're thinking that guy's going to be the franchise quarterback of the future. You don't need to bring in Mike Glennon for the amount of money you signed him for. Even if it's just, I get the contract structure. We've been harping on that ourselves, that it could just be a one-year deal. But still, the amount of money in that 1 year is more than you were going to pay Cutler and a lot more than you could have paid Hoyer. That just doesn't add up to me. That tells me that they evaluated this quarterback class and decided it wasn't good enough to go with a guy at number three, which is why they went out and got Mike Glennon, who they believe has the upside to turn into a long-term starter if it works out.
Would I be surprised if the Bears draft the quarterback at number three? No, I think everything's on the table. But you brought up some very good points there, I have to say. Mike Glennon is not viewed as a bridge quarterback. He got a three-year contract. I get how the money's structured. Look, they structure a lot of their deals like that. They protect themselves. A lot of the free agent signings, no matter who it is, they're structured that way. They protect themselves long-term. It's how Joey Lane, the Bears' chief negotiator, does business. That's how Ryan Pace likes how to do business. So there's something to that. But that's a great point in terms of the long-term evaluation of these guys. And look, things can change over time, from the Senior Bowl to the Combine to these pre-draft visits to the pro days, all this stuff. Things can change. But I think the Bears think that they're close to having a very good defense. They have some nice pieces in place, especially in the front seven. Ryan Pace said himself today at Hallis Hall that this is a very good defensive draft, very good players. And they could get a special one at number three, whether that's Myles Garrett, who may fall there, whether that's Solomon Thomas or Jamal Adams or Malik Hook or somebody. There is a great player to be had there to add to a defense, which they think is close to being pretty good. So a lot to weigh here. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears take a quarterback at number three. But a lot of things that they've done, like you said, with Mike Glennon, scream that they can wait. I think they'll draft the quarterback, but I think they want to wait.
Yeah, I think they will draft the quarterback too. I just don't think it's happening at number three. Not completely ruling it out either, but I'm just going off of the way this has all kind of added up over the last few months. That's where I am on this, and I understand that other people feel differently. Let's get to Ryan Pace. Let's hear what he had to say today at Hallis Hall, his final thoughts right before the draft, and you'll hear a lot from Ryan Pace this weekend because he will talk at the end of each of these 3 days certainly give us good evaluations of the guys the Bears ultimately pick. But here he is, Ryan Pace, this morning, on Wednesday morning at Hallis Hall.
Really a huge opportunity for us to immediately get better, improve our team, take advantage of where we're picking. And you guys know the blueprint for us to get better is the draft, and that's the plan, and it all comes to a head tomorrow. So excited about it. There's a ton of work that goes into this. Our scouts have really been on the road since August. Our coaches have put a ton of the work into this, and now it all comes to a head. So we're fired up. It's finally here. I wish it could just be tonight, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Right, you talked the last couple of years in here after making the picks about the consensus that you feel good about when you establish one of those in the draft room. I'm just curious, picking as high as you guys are, what level of consensus do you feel like you guys have been able to establish at the top of the board, and has that been a different process because you're picking so high?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't feel it's been different. It's been our meetings are so thorough, and I think we got such a great relationship between our personnel department and our coaches that coming to a consensus is natural as we go through this process in these meetings. So by the time we get to this point, you know, there's a handful of guys that we have consensus on throughout our building. And when I feel that backing from not just our coaches, but our scouts and everybody, it makes those decisions easier when we're all on the same page.
Right, everything on the table, including trading down, even though this pick is so high?
Everything's on the table, yeah. And I think that just gives us flexibility. So, you know, people always ask, have you received calls? That's going on a lot right now with, you know, with every team, and that's not unusual. And, you know, even after the first round, it'll go on for our you know, fourth pick in the second round. That'll continue. So that's just part of what we're doing. Sometimes it's teams just kind of fishing some things out and feeling their way. Sometimes they're serious conversations.
Right. How does the being at number three and the premium on franchise quarterbacks, how does that affect your decision there whether to draft a quarterback or not? In other words, the guy you like next year or the year after might be there, but you won't theoretically won't be a number three
together. I think when, and I know this sounds generic when I say this, and it's, but I think you get yourself into trouble if you're not sticking with our philosophy of best player available. So when you start trying to manufacture things or create things, that's when teams get into dangerous water, you know. So I think if we just stay with guys we had consensus on and best player available, we'll be in good shape. And,
Frank, yeah. What's your position on drafting players who have sort of an injury history?
Certain injuries? We look at them all thoroughly. Our trainers, our doctors have done a good job. So really with us, it's you know, we kind of code their cards a little bit. So I'll just be honest, if the card is pink, it's they got a medical issue where we would still consider taking this player, but we're aware of a condition. If their card is red, in our minds, that's a player that where the medical is significant enough where we would not draft that player. So they're all case-by-case basis, same thing with the character stuff, and it's us just determining those factors.
Is there a third time going through this as a GM? Where do you personally feel sharper, more efficient with the entire draft process?
Yeah, I think you get more and more comfortable with it, just the relationships you have with other GMs around the league and as far as moving around within the draft. Like, for example, last year I felt real comfortable with that, and I think that just gets more comfortable the more times you do things. And I think, you know, the ability to sit there and take, by the end of the day, we might have 10 reports on a player, and it's the ability to take all that information in and then come to the right conclusion and the right final grade for our board. So,
Ryan, regardless of what the doctors say, is there a human element for you personally about taking guys with medical questions because of what's happened with some guys like Kevin and other guys with injuries here?
Yeah, I think, honestly, yeah, we look at it really thorough, you know, and I think our doctors and our team, we talk about it all, you know, and there's certain guys, you know, that we always talk about one of the greatest traits is availability. And you worry sometimes if a player's been unavailable in college, that trend could continue. So that's a serious part of the evaluation that we take into consideration. We always have, you know, but I think it's important, you know, and it's important to be on the same page with our doctors and trainers and that's a group that's kind of behind the scenes right now that have put in a ton of work. I mean, we had a 6-hour medical meeting a couple weeks ago going over these things, and every one of those conversations is critical.
Right, with such a high pick and such a critical pick for the Bears, how do you avoid overthinking it? And does that happen? You know, that you just have so much time to analyze you.
Yeah, I think there's been so much that's gone into this really since August. So you just got to trust what your eyes see, and don't overthink it. Like, trust your conviction and trust your instincts and trust your gut. And I think, yeah, you can get into trouble right now if you're up there watching additional tape and doing all that. I think you can over-scout players. You do that. I think by now we've got enough opinions. We've met with enough players. We've been through the combine and the pro days and seen players play live. Where at this point we feel good. I don't think we're in a situation where we're overthinking anything.
Yeah. Brian, do you know what Mike Glennon went through in Tampa? Did you have conversations with him when you were negotiating or even since about the possibility of drafting a quarterback in number three?
No, we didn't know. We talked to Glennon about the opportunity here and the excitement, you know, about joining the Bears and the historic franchise. But we really didn't get into a lot of details in that regard.
Class in the top 10, there's not a lot of set pecking orders in a lot of people's minds. So how many players do you see, without naming names, that would be worthy of the pick at number three?
Yeah, honestly, it's just like every year, we have three names right now that, you know, that we like. And then, but to go further into that, we have a group of names kind of in a cloud of names kind of in the middle of the first round and a cloud of names in the later part of the first round. So as scenarios present themselves, you can prepare, hey, if we go back mid-first round, here's the group of players we're talking about that we like, that we think realistically will be there. If we go back later in the first round, here's another group of players that we think will realistically be there. And it's just kind of going over all those scenarios right now. That's what's taking place.
How much impact are you getting, or voices from the coaches, you know, guys that maybe saw some guys at the Senior Bowl or guys they like from maybe different position coaches about that number three?
Yeah, from our coaches are deeply involved in this, and we lean on them heavily. And, again, it's just me taking our scouts' information and our coaches' information and then making the right decision for the Bears. The Senior Bowl was a huge experience for us, and we're leaning on that heavily, not just players that we coach, but we crossed teams at the end of the week and got intimate knowledge of the other team, too. So that was a good experience. And now here we are at the draft, and I can see where that's going to pay off.
Have you guys removed any names from the board because of character concerns and incidents off the field? And what do you make of the whole Jerry Tyler?
Mm-hmm. There's players every year. There's players removed from our board for character, and there's players removed from our board for medical and for scheme fit. And it's no different this year, you know. And they're all case-by-case basis. And I think our scouts do an awesome job of just thoroughly looking into each one of those situations. And so it's just looking in each one of them and then just making a detailed decision on each one. So, yeah, there's guys that are off our board for a variety of reasons. Character, medical takes place.
How confident are you in your expectation of what the Browns and 49ers are going to do ahead of you, especially the Niners who have a new head coach and a GM who hasn't been through the personnel side?
Yeah, I think Rich, we just got to have three players we like and be prepared. I think it's unpredictable to know what teams are going to do. And, you know, this time of year, there's all kinds of stuff out there. And just have conviction in what we believe in and the players that we like. And the fact that we got three names, players we like, we're good. You know, so.
How do you guys keep track of all those maybe rumors and reports out there? Do you guys monitor all that, especially when you're number three?
Yeah, but a lot of it's just so – and I feel like every year that gets amplified more and more, you know, and there's just so much noise and so much chatter. And I think you just got to, again, just be disciplined with what we believe in and what we think within these walls, and don't get caught up in that. You can drive yourself crazy reading all those things and chase your tail.
There's so. Always pressure to get it right, Ryan, but do you feel even more so because of where you guys are at and it being, as Mark said, a critical pick for
I think picking so high, yeah, you feel the responsibility of picking so high, and but also the excitement of that and what it's going to do to our team. But every draft is critical. You know, and we've said that since we got here, that the blueprint to building this team is going to be through the draft. So every single one of these drafts is critical. So I don't feel any more pressure on this draft than I did the previous two. They're all critical, and we just got to string a bunch of good drafts together, and we'll be in good shape.
Ryan, have you made
four trades last year during the draft, none the year before. Was there any reason for that? And going into this year, is there a philosophy like you want to accumulate more picks, or would it just be a case-by-case basis?
It's a case-by-case basis, you know, and it just depends on what transpires, you know, ahead of us. That'll dictate what we can do, you know. But I think we got a good team in place up there to make that process real smooth and fluid. I feel real comfortable with that. So it's just every scenario changes as the draft unfolds.
Are you able to share at all how many calls you guys have fielded in terms of that third pick?
It's no different than it's any year. It's teams are calling us, we're calling teams. You know, like it feels normal right now. So it hasn't been abnormal at all for us.
Is this as good a defensive group of draftees that you've seen in your career?
I knew back like in September, even you know September, October, where this draft could potentially be strong or weak, and it would be accurate in saying that this is a strong defensive draft this year. That would be true. So,
hey Brian, how mindful is a staff when it goes through one year's draft of what's available maybe the next year in a draft class, or at least have some feel for what 2018 provides?
Those things are talked about. You know, Josh will talk about that a lot, and you know, I would say 99% of our focus is on this. But I think you're always thinking big picture. I mean, even with free agency and future draft classes, and those things are talked about. I think that's just being thorough and thinking big picture a little bit. You know?
Whether it's quarterbacks or like another position, how do you weigh the intangibles against the actual on-field production and talent that you do on the field?
It's big with every position, the intangibles. And I think that's what I can't continue to stress to our guys right now is, you know, because you can get enamored with these physical qualities or these traits, and there's enough good players where we don't need to change our standards, you know. And I really like our locker room right now. I really like the vibe right now in that locker room with the guys that we have here. It feels good, and I want to continue to add to that vibe and add to that excitement. So it's up to me to impress that on to our scouts and our coaches that, hey, we got to make sure we're adding the right kind of guys, the right kind of intangibles to our room.
You can go,
so there's a balance with that, you know, but just sorting that out, the physical attributes and the intangibles together.
Right now, for Dan, talk about the qualities that you seek in quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Are there characteristics that scare you away from guys when you're going through the list?
With a quarterback, yeah, there's the core beliefs that I have that have been probably put in me from day one as a scout and what I believe a quarterback needs to have to be successful. Maybe guys that I've been around, you know, so those are all traits that I look for, you know.
What are the things that scare you away in that position?
Honestly, like, what I would notice is, like, for example, like, when I watch, like, you know, Larry Mayer's mechanics throwing the ball in training camp. Like, that whole package just scares me away.
So. Thanks. Appreciate everyone.
Okay, so Ryan Pace, he can't tell us a whole lot at this press conference, you know, specifically. But there are a few things in there I think we can discuss. The first, and this is not a surprise, but the fact that they sound open to trading back. There's been discussions with other teams. That's all normal for this point in the draft process. So I think that's very much still on the table. I think it's going to be hard to find a partner, but I also think some crazy things are going to go down on Thursday night. It's just sort of a gut feeling I have with the amount of secrecy that there is really in the top five with who teams are linked to. I could see there still being a scenario where the Bears trade back. Maybe it's Cleveland as they try to get up and get Trubisky, because all of a sudden there's been some whispers that Jacksonville might want a quarterback at number four.
All it takes is one team to get aggressive, one team to start panicking. I mean, the Jaguars have done that before. I think they panic every year in free agency by giving guys millions upon millions of dollars and making them look, they're just bad in free agency. But all it takes is one team to really identify a player, and that could shift a lot of teams' draft boards. What did Ryan Pace say? There are three names that they like at number three. We can get to that later. But after that, there seems to be a cluster of players with similar grades. And I don't know how far those guys are off from those original three players. So if you can add a few more picks and get two guys from that cluster as opposed to one guy, you know, with the special grade, I think that's it could be a big benefit for your football team. But so let me ask you, those three names, who do you think they are?
Well, I think one's Myles Garrett. I think one is Solomon Thomas, too. And then I'm kind of guessing on the third between Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker, and Marshawn Lattimore.
I think it's Adams. I think some people are like, why does Garrett have to be on there? He's going to be number one overall. I think you have to have him on there because, one, he's worth a number three pick if he's there. He's a special talent. He's physically gifted. He's like Jadeveon Clowney. He's just a freakish athlete. You cannot pass on that. And I know there's some questions about his work ethic, but he's get him with the right coaches, a guy like Vic Fangio, even a guy like John Fox, things can click for him. So he has to be on that list. I think it's Thomas after that, and I think it's Jamal Adams because the intangibles of Adams kind of brings him up. And you heard Ryan Pace talk about pink cards and red cards in terms of medical. I think Lattimore and Hooker, what do you think, pink or red? I would be surprised if Lattimore is red. I mean, hamstring injuries that date back to high school, right? Surgeries on his hamstrings. Maybe he's pink because he's a special talent, and that's going to come into the factor. Hooker, obviously, because of the sports hernia surgeries and the hip labrum surgery, which is not good whatsoever for a defensive back. Those guys definitely have some type of color on their card.
Yeah, I think it's probably pink on Hooker, but certainly not red, because everything I've heard with Malik Hooker is that those two surgeries that he had are pretty typical football surgeries that you address in the offseason, not career-threatening by any means. The Lattimore stuff is way more concerning. That's been going on since high school. It's still an issue. So, yeah, I could see that being red. But I think the kind of the point you were getting at is Jamal Adams' card should be clean.
And Jonathan Allen's another guy that's in the conversation, top five, top ten. He's got a pink. I would believe he has to have a pink color because he's got arthritic shoulders. I get that he may be able to handle certain plays or playing at this level, but for how long? I mean, all it takes is one freakish injury. It's the college game. He's going to be going up against guys who are faster, equally as good as him at this level. It's not going to be like Alabama where they're just rolling over these teams and he's playing guys that are nowhere near his talent level. He's going to be going up against guys like Kyle Long and Josh Sitton, even in practice if the Bears draft him. So many things can happen to those shoulders, especially when defensive linemen need to have great handwork, fast handwork, all those things. He definitely has, at the very least, a pink color.
All right, so let's kind of make our final predictions here. How do you see tomorrow night playing out for the Bears?
Well, I have no idea what's going to go on before them. I don't think the Bears have any idea what's going to go on before them. The Browns, they're the Browns. They could go any direction. They could go Watson. They could go Trubisky. They could go Garrett. God, if they go quarterback, it completely shifts teams' boards, and I think teams like the Bears would be almost ecstatic if you start seeing Myles Garrett become an option for them. 49ers, so unpredictable. New GM, new coach. Who knows where they're going? I've heard a lot of rumblings about Leonard Fournette on them, so the Bears could. I mean, can you imagine if it goes Trubisky or Watson to the Browns, Leonard Fournette to the 49ers, and the Bears are staring at Myles Garrett? Crazy. I don't think the Browns are that silly. I really don't. I think my gut tells me it's going to be Adams. I think they like Solomon Thomas a lot. I think Garrett likely goes one. But, yeah, probably Adams or Thomas for the Bears at number three.
Yeah, I think it's either those two names or a trade back. That's kind of where I am on this because – and the reason I still go back to that trade, and I've been certainly saying this a lot, that it's going to be hard to find a trade partner because everyone understands the depth of this draft. But like you said earlier, I mean, it just takes one team. It just takes one team to get desperate, maybe panic a little bit. And I think what could be on the table in a trade would be too much for the Bears to turn down. And I look back at, let's say conservatively, the Browns take Garrett. They're sitting at 12. They want to get back up past the Jaguars to be safe so that they can get Trubisky. What would it take to make that move? Conservatively, they have 2 second-round picks. Let's say that's all that they're willing to give up. Would you make that deal? That gives you number 12, and then that gives you the first pick in the second round, the fourth pick in the second round, and then I think it's like number 50, early 50. So all of a sudden you have 4 picks in like the top 50. That's a lot of bodies that you're bringing in, some very talented players. And by the way, I'm saying this is conservatively. Let's not forget the Eagles had to give up a 2017 first rounder just to move up from 8 to 2 last year. Okay, so a 2018 first round pick could be in play, and you're talking about a Browns first round pick. How did the Bears turn that down if they can add potentially another very early pick? Because it's not like the Browns are going to be great next season.
I might do it even without the 2018 pick, but if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm holding them on the phone to the very last second to make sure you get that 2018 pick, because if they're desperate to move up to number 3, they're desperate enough to give you, because yeah, they're not going to be invested in the quarterback next year. They don't have to address it. They already have their elite edge rusher. They would already have their quarterback, so they would probably be willing to give up a high first round 2018 pick. But yeah, I think the trade value charts would tell the Bears absolutely to do it. I think you could get a pretty good pass rusher, a pretty good cornerback at number 12, and then you're looking at a whole host of very good members of the secondary or tight ends or even a running back, a good receiver even in the second round. If you have 3 picks, gives you a lot of options there. Again, I think there is such a cluster on some of these teams' draft boards after some of these elite players. I don't even know if there's much of a gap there. But, heck, it gives you more of an option to take a quarterback in the second round. You could take a Nate Peterman at 50 then if you could add a safety and a cornerback before that in the second round. So you get more options. You get more picks for your team. If that comes to fruition for the Bears and the Browns really want your number 3 pick and that's what they offer, absolutely.
That's why I think Thursday night's going to be crazy. I think in the end Bears fans are going to be pretty happy how it plays out. I'm trying to think of a situation that they would just be so upset. I mean, what would be a guy that would make them upset? Like Jonathan Allen? And then there's no other trades, no other picks added, and that's who you took at number 3. That might seem like a little bit of a reach with his shoulder problems. But, I mean, let's just not forget. They're picking number 3. I mean, they should get a very good player.
And you got to get it right. Yeah. And that's why I think the whole quarterback thing is a bit scary, because it is a big jump from the college game to the pro game now. It's so different. I mean, I like Deshaun Watson. I really do. But the guy hasn't taken a snap under center, and he looks at the sideline at a board of random pictures for his play call. I get that he's smart, and I get that he may be able to make the transition, but that's 2-3 years down the road. You don't know. You are more – like they talk about consensus – I think because of the way college football is played now, especially offensively, I don't know if that consensus would exist for any of these quarterbacks right now. I think the consensus is there for the defensive players. I don't know if the consensus would be there for your Watsons or your Trubisky's at number three.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so you at least know where the Hogan Johns podcast stands. I mean, no quarterback at number three, Solomon Thomas, Jamal Adams, or a trade back. We seem to be on the same page here. And you know what? Maybe if they make a deal with the Browns, they end up at number 12 and Watson's still there. Fine. That's a different conversation to me, especially when you're at. You would then have three other picks in the second round and potentially an extra first rounder next year. That would be crazy. But anyway, that's where we are as we record this, a little bit over 24 hours from the draft. But you heard Ryan Pace. You've heard our final thoughts. You can go back and listen to our mock draft roundtable in our last episode, episode 88. That was very, very interesting, by the way that played out. Robert Mays and Eric Edholm were great, too. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, check it out. My final mock draft, Bears mock draft, is out today. I went with Solomon Thomas, but mainly because I had already picked Jamal Adams in an earlier one. So that just get back to those are the two guys. So that's where we are. Any final thoughts, Adam?
No. If I had to make my final pick, I think that the first three picks will probably play out. Garrett, Thomas, Adams. I think the movement won't be there. Maybe it happens after the Bears selection. I think things get crazy at some point. I just don't think it happens maybe in the first three, four picks.
Three very good players. And I have Adams ahead of Thomas, but very close together. So if that's how it plays out, I think it'd be a win for the Chicago Bears. This was episode 89, the Mike Ditka episode of Hogan Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. We'll both have plenty of draft coverage there all weekend long. You can hear WGN's draft coverage at 7 p.m. right when the draft starts on Thursday night. I'll be with Justin Kaufman in studio. Maybe we'll hear from Adam Johns at some point. Haven't gotten down that road yet. And then on Saturday, Hamp, Obi, and Kaz, a special edition from 2 to 4 on WGN Radio. Did you just say you're on that?
3:30.
Okay. I am too. I think at 2:30. But you'll hear us on that 2 to 4 on Saturday. Hamp, Obi, and Kaz, those guys are going to be lit up no matter what, no matter what happens with the Bears. And then I'll be on with Mark Carmen after that from 4 to 7 on Saturday. So plenty of draft coverage, both on WGN Radio, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Get it throughout the weekend. We'll be here for you. And, of course, when it's all over, we'll be back with episode 90 of Hogan Johns at some point. Wrap it all up for you. Again, read us, WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. And subscribe. Please rate, review the podcast on iTunes if you haven't already. We will talk to you when all of this craziness this weekend is over.